Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls with a funny comedian, and then we break it down scene by scene. Breaking it down like Kanye West on a
microphone. For your ass.
For your ass.
Breaking it down like the officer did in Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, breaking it down that way. I'm Anthony DeSemito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very awesome guest. We are so excited to have him. Finally, the very funny comedian, Jonathan Gregory.
I'm Jonathan Yay! Gregory.
That is his voice.
That's my voice.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey.
You're holding your mic like you do on stage. Did you notice that? It's like
I speak kind of loud.
You do.
So I apologize.
No. Loud is good for podcasts.
Well, I get excited, especially when we're talking about the Golden Girls.
Yay!
Been jerking off to them for years.
Years. Blanche, I assume, is your jerk off trigger.
What's the old lady? The oldest
Sophia.
Of the old ladies?
Yeah. Sophia.
Oh, she's my.
She's bonerific.
Yeah, bonerific. I like the gremlins, so it's very similar to like the gremlins.
We usually start off by.
She knows how to handle a boner. I think I'm sure.
Especially with that pirate suit on in this episode. We usually start off by asking our guests, like, what's their Golden Girls background, but you sort of kind of already told us a little bit about Golden
I'm not
Girls.
Old, I'm not old enough to where I could jerk off to the Golden Girls when they were playing and I knew what I was doing. It was before I could actually come.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of like learning about boners and not knowing why you got them.
That
it was
age,
like a boner training wheels.
Right.
Yes.
You need, I think you need it. Like for me, like I knew I could get boners, but it was like when I came, it was like by accident. Like I was just like, whoa, that happened. Like I didn't even know what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ever reach orgasm during Golden Girls?
No, this is pre that time. This is like when I was at my grandparents' house. Like they liked the Golden Girls.
Like 9 years old, maybe.
Yeah, maybe even younger. I could get.
Did
boner
you jerk
early.
Off to Empty Nest?
I don't remember Empty Nest.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a spin off Golden Girls.
Yeah. Is it okay? Yeah. I don't. The Golden
later.
Girls. The memories were grand.
No one's ever described the memories of the Golden Girls on this podcast as grand, but that's cool. So you watched a lot.
I don't know. You know, I'm familiar with the show. Mm-hmm. I love every character. I find them charming, endearing, mm-hmm. Sensual in a sense.
It's funny because we picked this show out of a slew of shows we loved, you know, and so we might have jerked off to other shows just as well as this one. This one was sort of like a, you know, just a, we both just happened to really like it.
Basically how Anthony and I selected the show is we both like put shows that we jerked off to in a hat and we just like pulled them out.
Right.
Like and basically
the
if
pieces of paper were covered in jizz.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how you keep it fair.
This is exactly why I wanted to be here for this, right here.
Right.
I wanted to confess. I wanted to get this off my chest. I've been holding this in for a long time.
Get this just off your chest.
You wanted to jerk off. Yes.
See, but it's a whole new adventure now because it's been so many years since I've seen the Golden Girls.
Right.
And now that I know how my organs work, I can jerk off to them correctly.
Yay!
Yeah.
We're so honored that you...
We're so happy to be able to, like, you know, reconnect your penis and your youth this
way.
For
anything, we're facilitators.
Yeah.
For jerking off.
We're therapists. We're trying to, like, find that childhood moment in which everything broke. And I think this is it. I think we found it, Jonathan.
It was an old stack of Playboy magazines at my grandpa's house and a black and white TV with the Golden Girls on. They kind of both. I didn't know which one did it for me. It was a combination of both.
Right. When you're a kid, you'll just do it to anything. Yeah. I probably jerked off to like Matlock or
He's got white suits. He likes hot dogs.
I see him more like an Airwolf.
I didn't see Airwolf.
Airwolf is a good
Geographic
show.
There's a lot of shows I missed out on because I grew up in Mexico, and so I only watched like whatever was like the hottest thing in the U.S. That was like, oh, we'll put this into our Mexican TV, you know, and so. I didn't watch Airwolf, unfortunately. Watch Golden Girls, not Airwolf. And so we start off every episode also by Genevieve does a brief synopsis of the episode that we watched. And so Genevieve, take it away.
All right. Well, the ladies are doing a play with the community theater, and they got a big actor, Mr. Patrick Vaughn. He's in town for a tangerine commercial, but he's also doing doing a version of this play called Picnic. I think it is. It's Picnic, the 1953 play.
It's a spoof.
Yeah. Turns out he wants to try out all of the actors in the play.
How? What do you mean try out?
Try out like in his bedroom.
Like on his dick.
On his dick. And Sophia works at a Long John Silver's.
Also a apparently. Spoof of Long John yeah. Silver's.
Long John Silver's. It's never revisited. It's annoying me.
Right.
Yeah.
Which should have been revisited.
Yep.
All right. And so that's the episode in a nutshell. The episode is season 2, episode 14. It is titled The Actor, appropriately so. He's like the sun, and the women are the planets of the solar system of sluttiness. And the original air date is January 17th, 1987. What year I was born.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we break it down scene by scene, like Kanye West on an ass. And so the first scene starts off with Dorothy's in the living room, and Sophia comes in, and she's like wearing a trench coat, and it's super hot. So Dorothy's like,
and she pulled up in a cab.
Right. Yeah. She pulled up in a cab, which has been a trend recently. This whole cab business. Before the first season, no cabs. All of a sudden, cabs outside everywhere. No one can drive. I think they all got DUIs or something. But, okay, so she comes in and she got a job at Jack's Seafood Shanty because she needs more money. She says she's got an allowance, and she does a Dennis the Menace reference. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Dennis the Menace. That was popular back then. That was
maybe it still is. It was like the icon for like Dairy Queen.
It was a
Dairy Queen, like Dennis the Menace.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, he was like their mascot. That was the word I was looking for.
And it was a cartoon in the late 80s as well, wasn't it? Or was it just the comic?
It was a comic. I'm trying to remember.
I know there was a cartoon, but I don't know if it was on at that time. But I remember watching the cartoon because I didn't read the comic in Mexico. I
write in with your Dennis the Menace memories.
Yeah, I remember it being an animated series for a hot minute, but I don't know when. And so, yeah, and so all of a sudden, Sophia goes, she goes into her room, because I didn't understand, like, why she came in for, like, 3 minutes to go to work dressed in that outfit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What was with the trench coat, though? That was kind of creepy.
Because she was, like,
trying to cover it all, like to hide it.
She was trying to hide that she's employed.
But the trench coat, that brings attention. Like, what's under the trench coat?
Right. Why didn't she change? Or why doesn't she put her stuff in like a big purse? What could be
like, it takes a long time for that old of a lady to change. That's what I'm thinking. The quickest thing was trench coat.
Well, she took off like, she had like a pirate hat and she had like a pirate vest, but she kept the sword on.
I think she was like dressed like Dennis the Menace. she was very much like a baby, like a little kid.
Like,
dressed
I feel
up.
Like she felt like she could get away with the sword.
Right. Yeah. She knew that Dorothy would not let her work at the Long John Silver spoof. And
she was
going
to kill her.
She was going to kill her? Yeah, maybe.
She's like,
well, what's the trench coat do? A trench coat hides something.
And so you're suspicious.
It usually hides like kind of a weapon or something.
Right. If she never wears a trench coat and it's like 90 degrees out, like obviously you're fucking up to something.
Yeah.
But it's like January though.
It is January, but it is Miami.
Yeah.
So she did say 85 degrees instead of like 100. So maybe she was coming.
You don't need a trench coat in 85 degree Miami. It's just not necessary.
No.
Unless you're up to some shit.
They wear sweaters all the time, Jonathan. Every episode, it's like long woolly sweaters. And it's like, it is so hot. I don't
care.
That's
an old person thing, though. That is accurate in that sense.
Do you think so? Even in Miami?
Yeah. Yeah, especially old ladies more so than guys.
It's like they're in like the one of the hot, like even here, living here, like I don't really see old people wearing sweaters all the time.
I see
but it
is
hotter
know?
Here.
Yeah,
in Miami.
I do. I live in Scottsdale, and there's a lot of old people. I do see in the summer, like old ladies with
do you really?
long sleeve.
I live in Tempe, so I don't really
sleeve,
see that many
shirts with really long blouses. I'm like, that does not look comfortable.
But and they're cold.
And they're probably, and they're cold because it's a blood thing. I don't know what happens.
Maybe.
Like, I'm not, my background isn't the blood pressure and whatnot.
I don't know about your blood.
By writing, just tweet us at TiffTap, TYFBAP.
Send us a letter.
You know, they are old, so maybe email, TiffTap@gmail.com.
Give me a call.
Give us a telegram.
About your blood.
Give us a telegram about your blood. People have telegrammed us before. And so, she goes into her room. Who knows what for? Jerk off, probably.
Yeah.
Because,
I think
comes,
obviously.
What is she? Is she on a break from work? Why does she have to come home? Why does she have to get a cab home?
She's like, I have had enough of COD today.
And I'm getting like the scene is starting in the morning. It seems like. It seems early. They didn't say it.
Is it walk of shame? Like, fucking, she was working the night before at fucking Seafood Shanty, and then she fucking met some dude, fucked him, woke up, she's like, I need to go home and grab my wallet or whatever or something, and then I need to go back to work.
What does the morning shift at Seafood Shanty consist of?
I want to know. I know that the morning shift at Seafood Shanty, if that place were to exist, would be very, very busy. It would be like a fish fry special until like 11 a.m. And it would open like at 6.
Because 6? Really?
A Miami seafood place would be packed. Old people love fish and chips.
So is the agenda wake up at 4?
Wake up at
have
4.
Have some coffee. Seafood, fish fry, stuff your face, 6011.
Yes. Then you have...
Go to sleep.
You have lunch
wake
at
up,
10:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah. And so...
Remind me never to go to Miami and turn into some seafood-eating, crinkled fucking weirdo that wears a sweater all day.
I worked at Joe's Crab Shack, and there was like fish and chips, like Friday special... Full of old people, filled with old people.
Yeah. Do you think Sophia has to dance like they do at Joe's Crab like every 45 minutes?
Maybe she does. We had to do the electric slide and all that stuff. It was horrible.
I paid to see Sophia do that dance.
Oh yeah, electric slide. Welcome to electric. I don't know. All right. So the Blanche and Rose come in and they're super excited and giggly and jiggly. And they're excited about the new actor that they got for the Miami Community Players yearly production. Okay. They are all of a sudden actresses. They have never acted before. And actually Blanche has stated before that she has stage fright.
Yeah.
Yeah. That she cannot. And I'm just like, and this was a few episodes ago, but I remember her freak, like there was like a whole freak out. And I'm like, now you're like, okay, they've been golfers, they've been square dancers, they've been tap dancers, they've been music composers. It's like they've been bowlers, professional bowlers. Like they
semi-pro or pro.
There were semi-pro. Yeah, they were doing like local league. Okay. And so that was one of those. But all of a sudden, they're actresses who just got me. I was like, oh my God, okay.
They're flaky.
They're just fickle. They're fickle women. And so it's a yearly production. So these people only put on a play a year. And they can put it on in a fucking week. That's what also got me. Like, they hired the guy, and then like 5 days later they put on this fucking production. Like, it just didn't make sense.
That wasn't that good of a play. No. It wasn't really that good of a play, so it kind of it did live up to the time frame in that sense.
I mean, it's probably for like people that are dying.
For hospice?
Yeah, I think the
audience is hospice.
Have you seen an old person like talent show?
Because
I have.
I have too. Yeah.
There's no really. The rehearsals are part of the community. It's actually a good thing, you know, for the old people. They get together and they're not really. Right. The rehearsals are for the community.
Did you see a talent show or a play?
I've seen talent shows. I've seen plays at different senior centers.
It takes 2 months to put on a play, though.
Well,
1 month.
I've seen less.
Really?
Yeah, a few weeks. I have some elderly friends that actually put on plays and stuff.
But do they for the put community. One like on in 1 week?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks okay. is kind of what I was, and. Because they don't have anything to do. They don't have jobs. Remember that. So they can meet every day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
They're pulling 12. But they all have day jobs, these women.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Assume they just quit all those jobs.
They quit their jobs for a week.
Yes.
To put on this play.
Oh my God. It's with Patrick Vaughn.
Patrick Vaughn. He's a fucking big deal. Okay. And so.
Well, why is he going to stay in town that long, too? What's he getting because out of it?
I was thinking about that too. All right, we're jumping a little bit ahead, but I think he just wants pussy. Like Miami equals pussy when you're 65 years old. You know what I mean? You're old, dude. Yeah. That's where you go.
But you gotta think he's doing this from town to town. He was so good.
He's doing tangerine commercials every fucking town and fucking all these women.
I like this guy.
The
first time I saw this episode, I was like, this guy's not attractive. The second time watching it with you guys again, he's a good looking guy.
Bigger screen.
Yeah, bigger screen. He is. He's a nice looking 65 year old man.
Yeah, he's a nice tangerine. Okay, this is kind of weird that they sort of knocked down this one actress. They're like
Phyllis
Hammerow. Was it Hammerow?
Sure.
Okay. Phyllis Hammerow. They knock on her and they say they call her Miami's answer to Meryl Streep. And I was like, is that a knock on Meryl Streep? Are they talking shit about her? What does that mean?
I think it's a knock on Phyllis. I think like the answer doesn't have to be a good answer. It just has to be an answer. Just like, who's our Meryl Streep? And it's like, this old broad who can do like three voices.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just, so it was an insult to Phyllis, not Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was like calling Meryl Streep like garbage, but.
No, they're just like, she's our best actress. She doesn't have a day job.
They say that. Oh, can we turn this on? Oh, it's a little warm. There we go. All right. They say that she played. Okay. They put on last year's show, which was Anne Frank, The Diary of Anne Frank. And Phyllis Hammerow played a 14 year old girl. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I just had too much time to think about how this production just doesn't make sense. She was such a bad actress at Anne Frank that the audience turned into fucking Nazis and wanted her killed and were yelling, she's in the attic. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't, like, I couldn't, okay.
I think they were just like, oh my God, I know how this ends. They're in the attic. Like, they were like,
let's
oh,
get this over with.
Yeah. We gotta go. We're tired. We're old.
Okay, in the productions of old people that you saw.
Yeah.
Did the old people play young people? Did they play like teenagers and stuff?
I've seen like Wizard of Oz. Where so I've seen are animals. These?
Where?
And rec center, community centers.
Why do you go there?
I live in the community. I'm actually, you know, I'm friends with a lot of old people. I like old people. I always have. Mm-hmm. I find them.
Because they're sexually active. Well, because you jerk off to them.
As a child, not knowing. But like in a real sense, I find older people to be endearing. I feel they have a lot of knowledge.
Okay.
I enjoy their company and their conversation. I always have, even for as a little kid.
Do you work out with them? Do they hire you to work out?
Yes, I've worked out with them. I usually meet them at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I've helped. You know, I've helped in some like.
Listeners, Jonathan events. Is a physical trainer, just in case you did.
Boxing
trainer. Okay.
But I just enjoy old people. I've always have, even as a little kid. And I see these plays that they put on. I've seen different events, talent shows and whatnot. And it's more of a sense of community for them. It gives them something to do. Mm-hmm. And it gives them, when they rehearse time in, time out, they don't get any better. It's just, everything stays the same. But they get to meet with all their friends and whatnot.
It's a community thing.
It's like a community
thing.
This
is the perfect, like sometimes it's, we get people that, we get guests that the episodes, they are totally foreign to the subject. But like, this is perfect for you because you've been around the older community theater kind of people.
Yeah.
I think what Jonathan's saying is sometimes you need Bye Bye Birdie and sometimes Bye Bye Birdie needs you.
Okay, so this is a very common occurrence.
But I gotta tell you, because I do remember, and I'm not gonna put any personal names on black, a friend of mine, 80-year-old woman, Jewish lady, often comes up to me and said, because she does performances, like dance performances.
Okay.
And then talks about her performance, and I listen, and we talk and whatnot. It's small talk. And then by the end of the conversation, she's going off in a number, and she's full blast into her dance number, performing it in front of me. And I have to sit here and like watch this whole thing. It's very awkward.
Oh, wow.
People are watching me watch this old lady dance, and she's like full on serious with her dance moves.
Really? Is there erotic dancing?
It's weird. Dan. There's a lot of hip thrusting. Oh. It's just not
hip thrusting.
I don't know what to do. It's probably the most. I'm used to making people feel awkward.
Is she in costume?
No, just straight up. You know, fanny packs on, whatever. Okay. At the gym, working out, and it's just the conversation's turning to me watching her do her dance moves. I don't know if she's like if she's trolling me. She's trying to put one over on me.
Maybe she's
really
like,
practicing.
This is the kind of guy that jerked off as a child. And maybe I can make him regress back to that.
Write in if you know what to do with erotic old lady dancing. We want to hear from you.
She just leads the conversation into dancing.
That's a funny point, though. The whole conversation is just leading into her dancing for me. That's all it is.
Right.
These are my moves. I was into the conversation. Now it's almost. I'm realizing this now. I didn't see this before, but I'm the one being used.
Yeah, you are. Because she's getting satisfaction from having a younger man stare at her body.
It's a dominance move.
She's extreme. In control.
Yeah.
She's totally in control.
I've always respected my elders. I'm forced to sit here and watch this. And I'm not going to stop her.
You can't. I mean, she might want you to touch her.
I'm in a conversation in the men's locker room. I'm going on a little off subject here. And a guy's naked and he starts talking to me. I have no problem walking away. Like, dude, I'm not going to talk to you. You're naked. You're in the locker room. We can talk later. I don't need to have a conversation with you when you're fully naked, just staring at me. It's whatever.
Some 80-year-old
but something
dude.
About an old person, I can't just cut them off in a conversation because I have too much respect for them. I don't know
what if they're an old naked person?
Now you threw in the ringer.
If
there.
You're fully clothed old person, you can talk to Jonathan Gregory. I think we've established that.
I don't want to sit there, and that's funny because I've had that conversation with an old person fully naked.
They're just like fully naked talking to
you, conversing with me before they go into the shower, and I walk away.
You just like,
I do.
You're like, check out my dance. You
beeline for the door.
I just walk away. I rudely walk away. I'm sorry. Now, if it's someone right. in my age
what
range
doing it. What
if they
start dancing and asking you what yeah. they
that
think?
That is yeah, yet to happen. Like, that is a new one. That's the one.
They're like, what, Jonathan Gregory, I'm trying out for Bye Bye Birdie next week.
That's going to probably keep me there. That's so odd and weird. I might have to play that one out. I have to see where that one goes.
Okay, and so they're super excited about Patrick Vaughn being a famous actor, a television actor, and also a musical actor for 30 years. So he's been around the block, right? So he's amazing. Dorothy's very, like you mentioned, that she's so... Her excitement is not very realistic.
Genuine.
I think
it was, yeah.
Yeah, like it was a little bit forced. When Dorothy gets excited, it's really awkward. It's like her character should just be like it almost would have worked if the whole time she was like, I told you guys he's not that great or something, you know, like
yeah.
if her character sort of didn't like or didn't care
I'm
about
not believing
that person.
It. That's the thing. I'm not really believing it. It's almost
right.
It seems too forced to me.
Right. So if she would have maybe disliked the actor or just said he was not that great, then maybe it would have been more interesting.
I don't want to knock it so much because I think it's almost like the charm of her character.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, it's like when she has those mm-hmm. funny encounters with the other woman, she's the straight guy.
Yeah.
They're the idiot, kind of. And she mm-hmm. plays that role so well.
She does.
So I'm not really, I don't think it's a knock. I just think it's just something I noticed about the character. I'm not necessarily against it.
Right. Do you think that Dorothy showed off her dance moves to Patrick Vaughn? Wearing her fanny pack.
Dorothy is no the woman. You know what Dorothy is? Of all the, she is the dead fish in bed. Like, you can just tell. Like, she is. You know?
Just lay there. Yeah, she would.
Totally.
Dead fish in bed.
Oh, my God. I kind of disagree. I feel like she's, like, very active.
We've talked really? About this.
Yeah,
we think,
I know she's, like, a fierce...
I don't see
sometimes
it.
She...
I see
she's,
a big front. A big masculine front.
Right.
Which is weak in the bedroom.
We think that in her younger years, she was the top. Like, she would have, like,
I think
you know,
he's a fierce
hopped.
Lover.
She would have jumped on
I don't
that
see
dick.
It. But I guess you understand a woman better than me, I mean, being one.
I
well, you fucked old ladies, so...
Now we're jumping to conclusions.
Genevieve,
I was looking at Genevieve, by the way, listeners, when I said that.
I fucked Pearl and Opal in my day. What of it?
Okay, and so, all right. So the next scene, they're in the dressing room, and it's they're the welcoming committee because the welcoming committee apparently waits for the actor in the dressing room. They're just literally waiting for him to come in. And when he comes in, they're going to give him flowers. Like, Blanche is folding, like...
He's an established TV actor in People with stories in People magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're excited.
They are excited. But I didn't think about it until you stated it, Anthony, that is the creepiest thing, that all of them... He's coming into town... And they're like waiting in the dressing room for him. That is pretty. That's kind of creepy. To think kinda, about it.
You gotta leave and then knock on the door. And be like, "How's everything?" You know, like not like, "What up, tits and pussy?" Right here.
Well, yeah. I feel like they start tits dancing. And pussy was like in his writer, like basically
in his contract.
Yeah, he's like, "I want ladies
I
waiting.
I want three old ladies in my dressing room when I come into town from
maybe
a tangerine
four.
Commercial.
I want four. Like maybe one of them's in a pirate costume."
This is all a master plan.
Can you smell like fried fish?
Can you have 10 bouquets of flowers?
I'll be wearing an ascot.
Can I have some beach blanket towel? Like, specifically?
That's a fancy towel. That's like a bigger towel. That's like a beach towel.
It's an 87 fancy towel. Beach towels were
we'll
fancy.
Need that. He's in Miami.
Oh man, he fucks so many women in that dressing room.
But you gotta say though, the way they set it up, it seems like he's like the former A-list celebrity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Definitely.
Because now he was playing the Tangerine.
Right.
That was the big joke of it, that he's playing the Tangerine in the Tangerine.
He's in right. town and originally nobody, for... So,
nobody addresses yeah. that, like, that he's a B-actor now. You know, like,
yeah.
everybody treats him like he's a big deal, when in reality he's, like, a washed-up actor in Miami
at a theater.
Yeah, like a retirement. Retirement
going
home theater.
Going through a bad divorce.
Right. Going through a bad divorce. And so the only thing he can do to cope is by fucking 15... older women.
It's basically just one running that is train on this.
You know, this is like Alec Baldwin in 10 years, you know? Maybe 20 years.
You think he's going to get there? He might. But he got better roles as he got older. Yeah, I think
that's why I turned 10 to 20.
Right. I think like he's going to play the president in like something really soon.
You think
like,
so?
Like within 10 years. Oh, yeah. He's going to be a president and then he's going to be like getting an award or something.
You think he's going to turn into like Clint Eastwood or someone like that? You think he's going to go that long?
I think so.
I think he'll go higher and then go down.
I think he kind of went down for a while and then he kind of went up.
Yeah, 30 yeah. Rock brought
he's
him up.
He's good. I just that's kind of like this guy. Like he's the guy that they're portraying in the mm-hmm. in the show is you could tell he was really good and right. they still like people still swoon over him.
Right.
You know, so it's like he is something.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin's definitely going to get pussy until the day he dies.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
What would you say is like the real life equivalent of Patrick Vaughn?
I would say
Don Johnson.
William Shatner.
Well, I feel like William Shatner, he was in Star Trek. And
but he does Priceline commercials, which is the equivalent to Tangerine commercials.
Kind of, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a good one. Shatner. But Shatner's not as attractive as this guy. You know?
Yeah, he was hot back then. But he
Shatner
blew up.
Also, his wife died under he looks like a tangerine. Circumstances.
You're like, sorry.
Yeah.
You're like talking about his
I'm
wife
sorry,
died,
I'm sorry,
and I'm making
yeah,
fun of how fat he is. At the same time. Oh, no. Sorry. Rest in peace, Miss Shatner.
What about like Scott Bakula?
Oh, yeah, because he's gone. He's totally gone.
I mean, he was on.
Like his dad?
He was on Looking.
I don't. Okay. I haven't seen him in a commercial.
He was on Looking. He was on. But that's like a kind of a smaller HBO show.
Mm.
I like the Scott Bakula one.
Scott Bakula. I want him to play.
You know why?
Blackula.
You know why I like Scott Bakula? Because they said TV actor, didn't they? Mm-hmm. In the
they
thing?
Did say TV.
They did say
actor,
TV.
But yeah. He also did music.
I don't know if Scott Bakula did. Even though Scott Bakula has been in movies, he's best known for that big role in Quantum Leap. That was like his big thing he was known for. He was huge for that. And I know he's done other things.
But you know what was weird? Dorothy said that he's my favorite actor on TV today.
Oh, today. Which,
you know, she said those words. And so I'm like, is something on syndication? Like, I don't understand why. Maybe she's just watching TV Land, which back then is just Mary Tyler Moore and I Love Lucy, I guess. I don't know. TV Land was on back then. I know it was on in the 90s, but I don't know if late 80s. Okay, and so he walks in, tons of pussy. He's excited. He kind of introduces himself like really creepy. Like his smile is like very hollow. Like he looks like the boogeyman from like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah,
he's like my I'm Patrick Vaughn. Like, and it's really Vaughn. And it's
he really carries that last like that
very
that,
ungenuine. I didn't like it. He was super creepy. There was one thing I was gonna say that I forgot.
Bad tan too. He just had a bad tan.
Right. And was his hair real or not? I was trying to figure it out. Not real.
No.
Okay.
I mean, a good
because
rug.
There are toupees with a part, right? You can part a toupee.
It's a decent rug. It's not a good rug.
No, not a very
like,
good.
Like, it's, I don't know. He's.
Right. They're all jizzing. Like, Dorothy, especially. You're right. I didn't notice until. But Dorothy's the one that really wants to bone him. And, yeah. I think it's hard for her to find somebody that's her height. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
She was still taller than him, though.
She was. No.
Yeah, she still had like an inch on him.
Totally.
Maybe two.
A couple inches. Yeah. I agree with that. And so, Sophia's in there because she wanted to check out Mr. Hollywood, as she calls him. And Dorothy just like pushes her mom out the door, just like slams her. She could have fallen. Yeah. Like,
she got really dissed. She got really dissed in this episode.
Yeah, there wasn't
like totally like a different like she was out of the episode, but also like by the other cast member, like her daughter,
like her fucking mom was like needing money, like, and you're just talking shit to her and pushing her outdoors. Like, maybe Sophia was behind all of this. Maybe she's like, my fucking roommates are fucking dicks and my daughter won't let me work. And so just bang them all out. It doesn't matter.
She gets an allowance. I'll get you the taxi.
I'll let you know when they're not home.
She gets an allowance. and basically, like, I don't know how much of an allowance she gets, but she gets some money from Dorothy.
What does she need money for, though? What does she do?
I know, she likes to gamble,
and drink in the park.
Yeah, so I like the things that I think she needs money for are kind of suspect. Like, I don't know.
She's in debt, definitely.
Yeah, she's in serious debt.
She does. She likes to embezzle and all kinds of stuff. And
okay.
She gets into trouble. She gets into money trouble. She does. So Dorothy actually. Is introduced twice. I don't know if you noticed this. She, like, Sophia introduces her and then Dorothy introduces her, and both times Dorothy says, "Nice to meet you." I don't know if you caught that. It was one of the things that stood out to me. I was like, they just did this. Why can't the writers catch this part? Like, I don't know. Anyway, he says this that was interesting because it's connected to me. And Patrick Vaughn says that there's no such thing as small. What did he say? There's no such thing as small roles, only small actors.
Yeah.
And then Rose says, like, what's his name? Harvey Vilshais, who is a little midget from
Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that sometimes when I get off stage, the host will say, so that's what happened to that guy from Fantasy Island, referring to me.
I mean, now they probably say Vern Troyer.
Vern Troyer?
They are little guy from... oh, God. What are the fuck? Austin Powers movies. Yes.
Oh, but he's not Mexican.
Mini-Me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That guy, like, has a mustache, and I don't know. Because I'm short, listeners, just to let you know.
But I don't think many people get that reference anymore. I mean...
People have laughed at that.
Really?
I think, three guys in 5 years have said that. It's three hosts.
I think people are drunk.
Yeah.
I think people are drunk and they're just like, you said that in a funny way.
Because you have to look that up. There's no way you can know who that is or what Fantasy Island is or remember what that is.
I've never seen an episode of Fantasy Island. I know, like, I know who, like, the midget from Fantasy Island is. Like, I know, right. Like, I have a picture in my head that I, like, don't know who that is.
I guess that is a point, though, because I've never seen Fantasy Island, but you say the midget from Fantasy Island, I know exactly
about
that.
Exactly the plane
boss or something like that was the line. I know, yeah.
Right. Okay, and then, enough about that. Sorry, guys. But, okay, the actor, Patrick Vaughn, also, like, he comes in also to leave. Just like Sophia, like, people are just coming into rooms to, like, leave. Like, he's there for, like, literally, like, 2 minutes, and then he leaves. And so, I don't know. He smelled pussy, needed to get in there, needed to check out what was happening. Okay, and so before he leaves, though, he says, I hope you all audition to be the leading lady,
yeah.
Right? So I can fucking fuck you. And then, and what he fails to say is that he's also the casting director in this production. They hired this actor, and he's also gonna cast the show. Like, what? Like, how much money do these people have to pay him? Like,
he's financing the show. I think that's clear.
Yeah, Picnic.
Yeah,
he's like just any script that has the most women in it. 55 and older only.
He's like, find me a sad community theater in Miami.
he's doing it all. Like I said, he is director. He's casting director. He's probably doing he's probably setting up the set. He's probably like set design.
Oh yeah,
he
painted a set. Yeah. I think when he was there.
Right. How did he have time to do that though? If he's fucking all these women.
I don't think he sleeps.
Because
I'm really impressed by this guy.
I'm impressed, and then I'm disgusted, and then I'm like, I don't think this could happen. I think Sophia was involved. I think something just didn't make sense as to why he was able to fool everybody. You know what I mean? So nothing, it's just not checking out for me. Okay. And so they're at rehearsal. Okay. So the actor just arrived and now they're having rehearsal the next day. So they haven't even rehearsed. They're having casting auditions the next day. They haven't even rehearsed. I'm assuming the play is that weekend. Because the whole time they're like, he's been fucking me all week since he got here this week. Okay. And so it's best to have rehearsals soon. And so.
Well, but we haven't even mentioned, too, this is before the Viagra.
Right. We have not mentioned Viagra.
I mean, how does he do this much sex in such short a time at that age?
Fellatio, maybe. Maybe he's just straight up. Just
eating them all out.
He's a really good actor.
His dick is a really good actor. Okay, they're all at rehearsal. I keep saying rehearsal. It's auditions. They're at auditions. And they're auditioning for the role of Josie, who is like a teenager, right? And so, but we confirmed that old people like to play young people in plays, so that's fine. And so, in real life, IRL people. And so they're all sitting on the stage because that's how you have rehearsals. Everybody sits on the stage and goes up one at a time with the casting director. Like, the guy is acting. How is he able, like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I don't know. It was just kind of dumb that why wouldn't he have like an actor play the role of him? So he can see, you know, what is going on. Well,
it's like
on.
In the movies, though, that happens. When you have the arresting officer turns into the interrogator in the interrogation room. Then all of a sudden, he's the lawyer. He's the prosecutor. And then when the criminal escapes, he's back out on the helicopter flying
What movies does that happen?
Like every movie.
Every movie that happens. Yeah,
look at a big one with like any action movie.
Look at the movie Elizabethtown. Kirsten Dunst is everything in that fucking movie.
Kirsten Dunst
is, she's like the manic pixie dream girl for Orlando Bloom, and she is like, I swear to God, she's not sleep in that movie. She's just like all over shit.
Yeah,
she's just like every time he's like sad, she's just like, oh, that's just how things are. And
like, I wish they could have just like one line explained, oh, I'm also gonna be the director, or just something that tells us, you know, why he's in control of the whole production. He just got into town. He didn't even know what time rehearsal was. They had to tell him it's tomorrow at 2 p.m.
He's a professional.
Like, oh, sure, I'll be there. And you know what? I'll run it. And so
he is.
I'll just run the whole damn show. Step back. Oh, he's maybe okay. Maybe that director was the guy in the booth, right? The one that he was fucking, supposedly. He's like, from that moment until the next day, he got into his pants and he was like, convinced him to run the whole show. Does that explain it?
He's pretty charismatic. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened.
He fucked everybody. Even the lighting crew.
I mean, I think the reason why he gets so much pussy is he's really good at time management.
Really good at time management. Yeah.
So, listeners, we've been talking a lot to listeners today, this episode. The key to pussy management is time management. We need shirts that say that. Okay, and so they have the auditions, and it's first is Dorothy, who like wants to fuck him. She says so, like, on during the audition.
Yeah, take me on the stage.
Yes,
she says. Yeah.
Yes, because he's able to
take me, Biff.
He's able to physically
right now
take on the me, stage. Biff, right now. Yeah. Okay, and so yeah, and then we talked about Biff. Biff is a character of like the man in the play, which is like a really popular name right now because at this time because of Back to the Future.
1985. And this is 1987. But also, you, Genevieve, were saying Biff is from Death of a Salesman.
Right.
Yeah, there's a character named Biff.
Right, the son is named Biff.
Yeah.
His father was Willie Loman. He is Biff Loman. And he is a Loman who likes to get blown, man. And, okay, so there's, like, that whole thing. And so it would be like Back to the Future because they are sort of going back to 1953, but they're old now. I don't know. Maybe that was a thing that they were trying to. I don't know. It just seemed weird. Okay. And so, yeah, in Back to the Future, young people, old people play young people. Okay. And so then Blanche auditions and she has fake boobs on. It's a shock to everybody. She's balloons.
Huge.
Huge balloons in her bra. Like
over double D.
Yeah, they were unrealistic. They were like joke.
They were like water balloons. Like this is like the days. This is what happens when you don't have a Wonder Bra.
They look like dinosaur eggs. Like
they're way too perky too for that age. They were like, yeah.
Yeah. She just wants to show up Phyllis Hamero, who got the role and wasn't even in that room. Like, he fucked her already. She was, like, in the dressing room, you know?
She was the youngest, too.
Cleaning herself out.
Mm-hmm. She was by far the youngest.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, like, in her 40s or something. Early 40s, maybe. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, so what's the age limit for this production? 40 plus? I don't know. It's confusing because she's
when
not...
When can you eat on the elderly like menu? What's the age on that?
55. Yeah.
So I figure like she might be just a young looking 55.
Yeah, I think she was a good looking 55.
Right.
You know?
Mm.
I get it.
Okay. All right. Phyllis, we get you. Okay. But she was not even there when she got the role. And also, like, when you, like they decided who was getting the role, like, in 10 seconds. Like, literally Blanche sat down, and then he's like, all right, we're not going to put up a list anywhere in a couple days. We're just going to tell you in front of you that you've all, like, failed except for
he's
got
to get back to fucking. He's got time. Yeah. He's got time for all that.
Well, the play is in, like, 3 days.
He's like, all right.
And he's got to fuck everybody again before then. That's... There was like 20 girls there, yeah.
He's got 4 days to fuck everybody.
He's like, listen, I gotta fuck everybody. I gotta learn this line. I gotta star in this tangerine commercial.
Yeah, let's not forget about that. The tangerine commercial.
Like, there's so much to do.
He's like, I don't have a rental car here in Miami.
He's doing it all into the taxi, too.
Yeah. He's running around in taxis.
Taxis or public transportation, maybe.
He's living in that dressing room. He's just like...
Yeah,
he's got his laundry.
He needed that towel.
He's got keys to the community players.
He really needed that towel. The towel was so gross. By the time.
Oh, it was just dripping with his old man jizz by the end of the week. And you know that stage manager was smelling it.
Yeah, that stage manager, that guy, was really into the Patrick Vaughn.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell he was...
Yeah.
That he was like, he was creepy, like...
He was getting skull fucked, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Good way to put it right there.
Yeah.
That summed it up right there.
He was fluffing. He was a fluffer.
He was getting them ready. That's how. They didn't have Viagra. Yeah. You don't have Viagra back then. You need some old guy to get you ready for all these. He was driving the taxi. He was doing both.
Driving the taxi. There you go.
Driving the taxi. They painted stage. They painted sets together. And he's like, yeah, I got it. He'll do.
Right. He was blowing him while Rose was in the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, remember that? The trunk part? That took a whole new element to it.
Okay, so no one gets the role except for Phyllis Hamero. There's only three roles in this play. Three talking roles. The sheriff, Biff, and Josie. No one else. Like they have to learn an hour of lines, these three people. Like, if the play is an hour long. Okay.
With a room full of extras, too.
With a room full of extras, just fucking just had a picnic. Out. Okay, yeah.
Just look like you're enjoying ambrosia. That's and Rose is like, that's the role I've been training for my entire life.
So everybody's okay. So everybody leaves to the dressing room except for like the exit where it says dressing room, which there could be another exit, but they're all disappointed. Blanche comes back and she's like, I need to get my purse. And like, okay, this is why I think something's up, because he told the stage manager, get the fuck out of here. And the stage manager's like, oh, okay. Like he leaves. Like he's like, gotcha. You're going to go get Blanche. Ah. So like something like his payment is pussy. Maybe I don't get it. Like, okay. So then Blanche gets her purse and then he asks her out on a date. She says, yeah. And they're going to meet at 8 o'clock. Right. And so he's got this all mapped out. Right. For dinner. Yeah. For dinner. Yeah. To fucking eat her pussy. Yeah. Dinner, AKA. And so he like, it was so weird. Like, you pointed this out, Jonathan, like he kissed her, but she didn't kiss him back.
No.
It was like a rape kiss.
But is that bad acting? Was that intentional? You know what I mean? Because sometimes there's just bad kisses in movies where the girl is supposed to kiss, but she just doesn't.
But it was maybe
she's the bad kisser. Maybe it was bad acting. Maybe it's good acting. That's what they wanted to show.
She wanted to show that
she was so surprised that there was that kiss. She didn't know how to react. She didn't have time to kiss back.
Right.
Could be that.
Yeah. Right. She's like, we haven't even gone on a date yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, she could be getting.
It could be like, I'm not used to a guy kissing me. I look like a man,
and it's
could be
so that. Weird that like he like he should have that should have happened. That scene should have happened in the dressing room. Like Blanche comes back because then they have incentive to fuck him because they already didn't make the play. You know what I mean? It would have been a lot more Cosby-ish, but.
I feel like this guy just has no shame. I feel like he does this from town to town, and he's just like, all right, well, I've got this management system down where I don't want them to find out, but if they do, who gives a fuck?
Right.
Yeah. Like, hey, honestly.
I'm off to the next town, yeah.
Yeah, getting divorced.
In every town, he calls up the local newspaper and tells them about his new tangerine commercials where Rose can read all about it. Because that's headlines in fucking Miami. Right, tangerine,
yeah.
Tangerine commercials.
Tangerines are big out there in Florida. You know, that's where they come
they
from.
No, they are. They're very big.
Well, so I guess that's why he's making the commercial.
Maybe there was huge like you know, act where there's a Miami Actors, you know, magazine, and she read it there because she's in a theater. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to justify it. Okay, guys. Okay, and so the next scene, this taxi is pulling out of the driveway. He in the middle of the day, Patrick and Blanche are in the house. They just got there, and assuming that he's gonna fuck her because why not day sex? Right? And so
he's already done, he's done who knows what last night. He's ready to go again.
He doesn't even know her name, I'm sure. And so
he doesn't know any of their names. None. He's like, you're all just not Josie to me. That's
you guys symbolize my failing career. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna each orgasm is going to fill something inside that was never filled.
You guys are all just flyover state to me.
You would think, though, about like the seventh girl he's had sex with in the same day when he's having sex, and they right. see, like, say, or let's guy. Just say he's using a condom, and they see there's absolutely no, like, semen in the condom because right. he's shitting had sex so much that day. Aren't they going to get a little suspicious?
Right.
Like, do you just not have any? Do you?
Do old guys that age jizz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can detest.
Do when?
I don't You've think if it? You're. Uh-huh. I don't think if you're an old lady.
I saw it in a play.
I don't think if you're.
That was a different kind of play in Mexico.
In Picnic.
Yeah.
In Picnic.
It's a really good you're version. Like, was
80-year-old guy jizzed on you?
Yeah, that wasn't a play. I paid a guy $5, so it was
that
really was nice.
That old lady.
I gotta be honest,
dancing
though,
in front of you.
An older woman, I don't think, is just like, wait a minute, you didn't jizz in
She's just holding it, waving
it.
Imposter.
Honestly, I don't think any woman of any age is just like, yeah, I think they'd be like, great.
You're done.
To be quite honest, you're done. I don't care.
Wait, I don't feel anything inside yeah. of me. What did you? Did you go?
Yeah, right. I faked an orgasm before when yeah. I was little. When I was little. When I was about to go to girls. When I was like. I didn't know how to orgasm like when I first started having sex. I mean, I knew how to do it myself, but I didn't know how to get into it and do it with someone else. You know what I mean? And then like, and so I faked it, and then the guy was like, "Where is it?" And then I was like, "Oh, it's there. Gotta go."
You're like vastly in the minority there. Not many guys have faked an orgasm.
I only did it once, yeah. I think. But then yeah. I was like, okay, get, you know, you're not, you can't keep doing that.
I guess my point is that most women are just like, yeah.
Oh, you didn't come? Okay, that's all right. Fine. Let's go watch TV.
Yeah, let's go get dinner at this fish fry restaurant.
Right.
At 6 a.m. in the morning. Yeah.
Right. It's not a big deal. We can save the condom.
You're a TV actor.
Yeah, why don't you fake your jizz? I don't even know how we got into this. Okay, so... Blanche, day fucking. Okay, and so this whole ordeal happens where... Dorothy comes in and she's like, she catches them like on the couch, and she's, it's supposed to be a secret. He tells everybody not to, like, he goes on dates with Blanche. I totally skipped over that part. Blanche at 8 o'clock, Rose at 10.
For and dinner. Then, both for dinner.
For dinner. For dinner. And then
not dinner.
Dorothy midnight. At midnight for what?
Now, yeah, he never said what.
What are you gonna have?
He just said midnight. That's pretty clear. What though. Are you if it's doing midnight at that age?
They're gonna fuck.
Yeah.
Dorothy was maybe dead fish or top. Who knows? Who knows if there was jizz? We weren't there.
He's like, if you're not there, I have to sit alone in my hotel room, and I'll be sad. Because yeah. I cannot be alone and have a sex addict.
He would be, like, drained from jizz by that time. And, like, dinner takes a while. Like, he must have had dinner and maybe hand job from Blanche and Rose.
Two dinners. I don't. And not that. You'll be too not full. That far apart either. 8 and 10.
You're too full to fuck by then.
Yeah.
Especially.
Maybe he's getting a salad. Maybe he's a Caesar salad guy.
Caesar salad. Maybe the next course he got like dessert, and then at midnight he's ready for the Dorothy entree.
I think that's well. I'm guessing at 8 o'clock was Blanche, right?
8 o'clock.
She's kind of easy. So
8 o'clock is Blanche.
I'm thinking they didn't have dinner. They had a drink and they just went right to it.
There's they no had a cocktail or two, yeah. Maybe some beer nuts. Then they fucked, and then Rose is more traditional.
She needs a dinner.
She had dinner. Maybe he felt her up. And then sniffed her cooter by dropping something. I don't know. He's a good actor. And then I don't think he did anything. I don't think Rose would do that. Nah. I think she's a prude.
Yeah. So he got laid.
I think he just let her touch her boobs.
And I'm guessing that... like a broom closet. I'm guessing for the first date, Dorothy, that's the tall one, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he just ate her out. I think it was just there.
I think he ate her out front and butt.
And butt?
Yeah.
This is getting too real.
Okay, so he doesn't know that they're roommates because no one brought up the plate during dinner or drinks or ass eating. No one brought up that they lived together, and the whole week they were the whole 4 days they were rehearsing, no one brought this up to him. And the fact that they were all in the same dressing room when he got there didn't tip anything off. He had no idea that they were roommates, and this causes a problem.
You think that'd be part of conversation with the dinners, you know?
Yeah,
how do you know Dorothy or Rose? Since he knows he's got plans with them later that night.
Right, or they brought it up.
Yeah. Maybe he just thought they were just all in the community. He didn't, I don't know. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that asked about their living situation.
Maybe they said that they roomed together, but he was busy texting. And
it's before the text.
I know. I just realized.
I think Genevieve hit it. I think it's just he doesn't care. He just went there. He boasted about himself enough to get them, turned on enough where he could just take advantage of them and then on to the next one.
Yeah,
he's like, he didn't ask them any questions about themselves or give a shit.
Charles Total Manson sociopath. Doesn't ask about. Yeah,
Charles Manson doesn't ask.
He doesn't ask about living.
Right.
And all those girls were living together. Girl, you're pretty. Listen to my song. Yeah. Then I'm going to record with the Beach Boys.
I think comparing him to Charles Manson was the right thing to do, Genevieve.
I've been watching some Aquarius. So I think it's... yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it's don't watch Aquarius. It's bad.
A queer is us. That's what I think about when I hear Aquarius. They're all queers. I don't know. Sorry. Okay. So then Dorothy she gets suspicious for a second when she walks in and sees them canoodling, and then they come up with a stupid excuse we're rehearsing for this action move, where he literally throws her onto the ground and she falls over. And so Blanche, that's the lie. And then Dorothy and him, Dorothy's like, wait a minute, how did you know that I was here, that you were waiting for me when you were here with Blanche? You didn't know that we were roommates. And he's like, no, I was acting. And he's like, and then she embraces him. And then the same thing fucking happens with Rose, where Rose comes in and she's like, whoa, what are you guys doing? He drops her on the ground. She's like, fucking.
Totally.
Just.
I think he's handsome enough to get away with dropping a woman on the ground. I feel like he's of that basic TV handsome level.
Right?
Yeah.
He's just I don't need to get caught.
I think Scott Bakula could drop me on the ground if he wanted to.
William Shatner can drop me on the ground if he wanted to.
Write in. Tell us which TV actor can drop you on the ground. The stairs.
Washed up TV actor.
Fred Savage can body slam me. That's fine.
Oh man. Fritz Savage can. I think he's doing a lot of body slamming right now. Slamming heroin into his body. So then he pulls the same shit with Rose as she did with Dorothy, and Dorothy doesn't even catch on. She's completely they have the whole contact scene. She was looking for a contact on the laying on the ground on her back looking for a contact. This is how you look for a fucking contact. And then Rose buys it. She buys it.
Well, she's stupid.
She's fucking stupid. So that's expected. That's what
okay. And, I feel like it was convincing enough.
Yeah.
And then he puts in the fake contact and literally like over mimes it like, here it is. And here it goes into my eye. Like just super very theatrical. And then they say goodbye to him, and it's not like, and they're all, I don't know, like they all aren't telling each other what's going on, and they're keeping their secret, which is, I think, rare. Like, I think somebody would have slipped and said something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so they're definitely...
Because they live together, too, so it's like, why would that come up?
Yeah, are they just going to home and...
When they smell different or something, too, you know, more so than...
Where did you go? We all went out the same night.
Like, I want to smell your finger twerking. Come back home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right? 2 o'clock in the morning.
Usually you sleep by six. Why are you out? Why are you out at midnight?
She comes in at home and like Sophia's going to work and she's like, well, we're both gonna smell like fish at one point today.
And, okay. At least you're gonna come home with some money.
He definitely stole money from these women. Yeah, he definitely
went for his divorce.
Oh yeah, he went into their purses, stole their money. Yeah, and then there was whole. Okay, so then opening night, it's a few days later, they got the script down. The stage is set. It's seconds before opening night, and they're barely putting up lights in like this one area. No need to test these lights. No, we know what we're doing. Throw them up quick. Yeah, throw them up.
I feel like that space though was like usually a gym. Yeah. Like there are Tai Chi lessons usually in that space.
They have the basketball hoop like folded up.
Yeah.
That's where they have like adult spelling bees. Yeah. I would love to see those.
I would too. Yeah,
I would go to like a senior spelling bee.
Just show in Oklahoma City, they have a drunk spelling bee.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like a comics thing. It's really fun.
No way! Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah, we should.
Okay, I like next
it.
Show.
I like the
drunk
idea.
Spelling bee. That's awesome. Okay, we got to talk about this. Okay, and so, yeah, okay. And then it was, okay, one thing that got me was like when the lights turned off, we're like, all right, places, everybody. You didn't like hear, okay, one, the light that the light men were hooking up was still down, like they needed to pull it up with ropes, like it was still down when the lights went off. And like when, like before a play, like usually you hear clapping or you hear people, I don't know, I didn't hear anyone or you know, there was no introduction to that play, and
I feel like the audience was just very permissive.
Yeah, they were just really.
I think they were just like, yeah, we're here.
There was like
we're
three probably people.
Just like we're seeing our neighbors. We're just going with whatever.
That's
happens.
Normal for a senior play, though.
No one's talking.
Nah, they're usually supportive, but no one really wants to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To see Picnic.
I think that speaks more to like the nature of theater
in general.
I mean, right. Like a community theater kind of thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But wouldn't that place be packed because that actor is there?
Oh, like, I guess that's true.
Like it would have been headlines all over the Miami Actors Magazine. Like, I don't know. It just.
Well, I feel like, okay, if it's going to be advertised in, like, the community newspaper, that was the same newspaper that Rose had her personal ad run in, and she got, like, no response to.
So no one's going to come to it.
No one's reading it. No one.
It's just the same community theater that gets the same type of people that come back.
Right.
Yeah. It's the same people acting every play. So it's just support, you know?
So it's like a cult. Like,
yeah.
Basically, the same people come every time. Okay.
Or like a long-running open mic show.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You got your regulars that go to that bar every time.
Yeah.
You got the same comics.
It's just like a cult. Okay, so then Rose wants to give her, wants to give Patrick a rose for good luck because they're not old school. They're breaking female-male roles. The woman's giving the guy a rose, so whatever. That's cool. But like Blanche says, you can't give him a rose. Don't you know that old like theater superstition? You can't, a woman named Rose can't give someone a rose on opening night.
That was quick. That was good. Yeah. That was good.
I really like that. It was really funny. So I'm complaining a lot about this episode, but I did enjoy it. Don't get me wrong.
Rose believed it because she's an idiot.
Rose believed it very much. And so they were like, then Phyllis Hammerow, who is like 12, like she's like a Benjamin Button, you know, like maybe in her head, maybe she's really 65.
She's the Meryl Streep of this community. She's pretty cute.
Right. Yeah, Meryl Streep is cute.
She's very cute.
Back, she was very hot when she was young. You know, she.
Yeah, I mean every Hollywood actress when they were young is fuckable.
Right.
I mean, come on.
William Shatner.
Bacula. Don Johnson. I saw Don Johnson in the audience Golden State game. He looked pretty good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The guy from Fantasy Island is very fuckable when he was young. I'm just saying, I would have done it. I want to fuck a small version of me. I don't know what it's like
Who doesn't?
I mean, don't fuck your children.
Yeah. No. Oh, God.
Just fuck like
don't
an adult.
Write it if you.
Small version
if
of
that's
you.
Your small version. I don't want to hear about that.
Okay, fuck yourself if like a small version of you is like an adult that's consenting.
If you take away anything from our podcast, please have consensual sex.
Right. With adults.
With adults.
Unless they're midgets. I mean, no, if they're midget adults. Okay. Not under.
Force yourself on a midget.
Yeah,
don't force yourself on a midget.
On a midget.
That's what. Thank you for being podcast.
Especially
tells
with
you.
A bowl haircut and a white baby business suit. Okay. All right, and so, fucking Phyllis Hammerow. I don't even know how we got into that. Phyllis Hammerow is like, I should give him the rose. He's been getting it from me all week. Like, she's literally saying, like, she's been giving it up, like, her pussy all week long.
She's been getting it.
Since he got here.
By it, I mean my pussy.
Right. We've been rehearsing.
I've been the Meryl Streep of giving my pussy.
I'm the Meryl Streep of giving pussy. The Bridges of Madison County. Hey, there were old people in that movie. They should have done that movie. Okay, and so then they realize that they put two and two together after 4 days of intense fucking and missing work and trying to learn your lines. And
they were just fucking. That's
they were
all
just
they were doing.
Fucking. No, dude, he knew his lines because he does
the same play everywhere. He's already got the lines.
He's
it doesn't
got
matter.
The stage like packed up.
Here's the play. He comes in. He tells the same lines, and he fucks everybody. He goes to the next town. That's
yes.
It.
So he he's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I say. Just say am Biff, and I'm a drifter.
I'm Biff. I'm a drifter. That's what he says. And it's like...
I fucked half the audience, too. Right. Like, you see, like, all the audience... You see all the actors raising their hands about who's fucked them. Like, you don't see the audience, like... The audience. Yes, why we're here.
They're all so banged. Us.
That's his publicity.
He fucked everyone in the tangerine commercial. He fucked the apple. He fucked the grape. He fucked the fucking banana.
Gypsy sex addict all the way.
Gypsy sex addict.
All over the place. Yeah. Think about it, you know.
He's traveling. He's doing this fuck tour.
He's got to spread himself.
He's got to spread himself. Spread his fruit. Oh, man. He's having a picnic, guys.
He picked the elderly crowd, I think, because he had issues with getting so many girls pregnant.
Oh,
you know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
That's so now
true.
He's going. He's doing the elderly scene
after the menopause
because he doesn't need to use protection. There's not a huge STD scare at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he can just openly, you know, blow on these girls and not, mm-hmm. not get anyone pregnant.
He can shove his face down anyone's pants, front and butt.
He's like, I've been on TV. I can shove my face in your pants.
Okay, and so. So the play starts, they all like, they're all bewildered, and they're like, and so they're like, the play begins, and he's like, fucking, it just, okay, like, I can't buy that he's a drifter. He's just so like, well, I mean, kept. He's a handsome, tall, white, straight man. Like, you would probably get a job somewhere. Like, somebody would just give you a job back
well,
then.
Well, the toupee is too smooth for a drifter, too. It's right. Like, too tight. It's too perfect.
Too perfect for that. Yeah, so right. Who? What kind of drifter has a toupee?
Like, who are you? Jeremy Piven? Like,
coming from Tana Town, but my hair's perfect. Oh, man. And so... Then Rose and Blanche start arguing, like, right as they walk onto the stage. Like, loud as fuck. Like, louder than the actors. They're like, how dare you?
And they got shushed, remember?
They got shushed. Yeah, they got shushed by...
A lot of people.
Yeah. Dorothy, who's the sheriff. Oh, we forgot to mention the sheriff. Dorothy's dressed like the sheriff because...
The sheriff got the flu.
And so she's the only one that can fit into the costume. Because obviously the sheriff is like super old and pregnant. And so they shove like a belly pregnant suit into her like sheriff fucking like costume.
That was weird.
And that was... Yeah, that was really weird. And
there was other guys that could have played the sheriff in the background as extras.
Yes. Other guys that could have, like, nobody else could have done it. I think Dorothy was just like, this is my moment to shine. I have lines. I'm going to do this.
Look, she's like, I came here to wear a patch or to go home. What's it going to be? She looks pretty happy in the sheriff role. She's like great with it. She's like really happiest. She's ever been in the episode is like, she's like,
when she's a man.
She's like, I'm in my element.
but we didn't get a shot of her on her back getting eaten out in that taxi, though.
That's true.
So we can't compare it to that.
We can't compare it to that.
You make a good point.
Or getting her, getting her front and butt licked. And so, yeah, she's reverse Caitlyn Jennering it. She's, like, super happy in her, like, man suit, which is, you know... As appropriate.
Fits her very well.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
Dominant. She's the sheriff. She's got control.
Right. She's in charge. She's got tons of lines. She memorized the sheriff's lines, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, what's the sheriff going to say? You're just like, what you doing in town?
Right.
You don't belong here. I got my eye on you. Like, that's all every sheriff in every single play. Every sheriff everywhere. Right. Like, I mean...
You're not from around these parts, are you?
Yeah,
that's a good line.
Yeah, exactly. You have to say parts.
Yeah, you got
to
say parts. Parts.
So everyone's having like, there's like 50 people on that stage having a picnic. It's like it's all of a sudden they just start having this crazy because that's how picnics happen. All of a sudden, you turn around, they're there, and like, they're.
And it's like small groups. You know, they're not communicating as one. They're like small groups of picnicking. the right. same time. Yeah,
they're kind of like in different tables and areas, but they're all like dressed like teenagers in the 50s because they don't. Yeah, and so we confer like we said, old people like playing young people, which is hilarious. and so then okay, so they start arguing about this, and then about fucking Patrick cheating on them. They both thought they had a beautiful thing together, and Dorothy is like, sorry, it was taking so long. I'm just so critical of this episode, but Dorothy is like telling them to hush, and then they're like, oh, he's been fucking around with us, and then she's like, how dare you, and then Patrick is like trying to damage control while he's doing his lines, and everybody else is like freaking out and being super loud to the point where everybody in the play is like pissed off because they fucked Patrick.
I feel like that's the best thing that could happen to this play is people just getting really upset over him fucking right. everybody. I feel like that's every play he's in too. Like, like this has happened to him before. He's way too calm.
Right. So he knows exactly what to do and what to say.
He's like, honestly, this play's going to be about 10 minutes long because about 3 minutes in, they're going to figure out that right. I fucked everybody. And there's going to be murmuring and then confrontation and then everyone gets to go home.
No, dude. No one knew their lines. And that's why they had to start a riot.
Well, he doesn't give a shit how the play goes. He's just there to get pussy and go on to the next town. Right. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the reviews.
He's got his stuff packed already, I'm sure, because he knows what's going to happen.
And like metaphorically, he's right. playing the drifter in the play. And what does he do?
He's a drifter.
He drifts on back to the next town.
Magic. Oh, yeah.
He's a drifter. So Picnic is such a metaphor for like his fucking deluded life.
He's like, guys, I'm Biff.
Right. He's Biff.
He's so he is a method. He is a method actor.
Oh shit.
He is playing the role of the drifter.
He is good.
He's so good.
He's such a good actor, as Dorothy says twice in this episode. Oh man. Okay, and so yeah, also just like 1953, no black people. I wanted to point that out to the listeners who
or Hispanics.
Or Hispanics.
Yeah. Or Asians.
Fandango fans.
This is an older
Fandango
elderly HOA probably situation.
they all know each other from HOA.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like a homeowners association community right. theater kind of thing.
And then Phyllis Hammerow is so dumb. She's like, you slept with the sheriff. I'm like, okay, so you're a dumb one too. Yeah. And so okay, and so he fucked the whole cast. You know, he fucked all the women.
And the guy, I remember the guy raised his hand too.
And the guy, yeah, the guy, he's like, Dorothy's like, who got banged out by Patrick? And then everyone raises their hand. Even the who knows.
No, he asked. He said, come on, everyone had a good time.
Right.
Raise your hand if you had a good time.
I ate your front and I ate your butt. Like, everyone raised your
hand. Everyone raised their hand. They all had a good time. And so he knows how to lay it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He showed that.
Yeah. Which is, that's how all cheaters get away with things, right?
That's they just really say, the show.
Did you have a good time fucking me? What did you? Well, everyone's happy.
It's good time.
I did not commit to either of you or any of you, you know, or give you like,
we had times in that trunk in the
right.
Yeah.
Blanche calls him a carpet bagging scallywag, which I was like, yeah.
She also says she wants to hang him.
Yeah.
Which is the second time she's brought up hanging.
Right. Also, no black people. Remember that. So so they bring out, I mean, if there was a black person there, they would have been like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hanging? Come. And so,
but hanging works because it's a Western. And there's a sheriff.
Right. It's a, yeah. It's a Mississippi, right? So
it's like a Western picnic. Because you know what I mean? Because there's a sheriff. He's got the sheriff's got the cowboy hat type sheriff.
Right. It is westerny. It's
yeah. It's the South.
It's the South.
It's like this is a community wide picnic. There's probably gonna be. Yeah. That's why I like the mayor.
I mean, there's not a picnic without a hanging in Mississippi.
What community picnic does not have a hanging?
There like no we got fried chicken.
You know what they didn't show?
Public deaths.
You know what they didn't show? All the Black people that cook their food. Oh, yeah, they're over there in the houses. You know, not enjoying picnics, trying to survive. Yeah. What
they're
about that?
They're not getting fucked with this TV after.
Right, they're not
well,
gonna.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are. Okay,
he fucks everybody.
Biff fucked everybody. Yeah. Oh no. Okay, and so yeah, and then Rose asked for like a tree from props. Bring out a tree from props so we can fucking kill this guy. Yeah, it would have been awesome to see that, to see like the tree be pulled out, like, you know. But they missed that little note.
I know.
Okay, and so they're okay. So the play, they run him out of town, quote unquote, like literally in the play, and in real life, get out of here. Gets huge applause. The play is like 3 minutes long. Everyone gets their money back.
I feel like everyone there is just like, we get to go home now.
Yeah,
we get to take a nap.
I think they forced the play to be over with the applause.
Right. They were going to applaud. That was like,
it's
anyway.
Kind of like it's over. Everyone applauds. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's over. Yay.
And they started walking out of the building.
Yeah. Yay. He's in his. I bet he fucked one of them one last time.
I think he got all of them.
Like the woman that looked like Catherine O'Hara, you know, during auditions.
Yeah.
He definitely fucked her one last time. Well,
the lead. What's her name? The
Phyllis Hamero.
Phyllis Hamero is in his Rolodex. She's going to stay around.
Phyllis Camel Toe.
Yeah. That was his favorite. And he'll be back. He'll keep her around. You know,
take her on
every
tour.
Every time he goes back to Miami, she's like the warm-up for
him.
She's
on the Rolodex. Yeah.
Yeah,
the host from different area codes.
Yeah.
He's the original. You were the best, Josie. Hosey.
Hosey
from
oldest, crustiest Hosey's, pimp game ever.
Hosey's in different area codesies.
We're reaching really hard.
Okay. So they're back at the house. They're all disappointed about what the fuck happened. And so
but they all came.
Yeah, they all jizzed.
They're all happy.
Yeah.
Everyone had a good time.
Everyone had a good time. Get over it. The moral of the story is, if you had a good time being cheated on, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, basically Dorothy was like, well, you made me feel beautiful.
Yeah.
Blanche is like, yeah, he made me feel young. And Rose is like, he made me feel smart.
And then Dorothy says... The gray line.
The tag.
Yeah.
To the punch.
Well, God, what an actor. And it
that
is.
Was a great ending.
Yeah.
That was the 1, 2, 3 punch did, with the tag.
I love this episode. Don't get me wrong, but like just putting on that play in a week, I was just like, really? Like, hang me with the prop tree. Anyway.
Anthony has very high standards for community theater.
For community theater and story writing. So, all right. So we did it, guys.
Yay!
All right. And so this comes out. When does this come out, Genevieve? This comes out super...
It's like July. We're going in July. I think we're in the first, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I think this comes out July 1st. So, Jonathan, do you want to promote any shows that are coming out after or
July
on the date?
July 1st.
Or what can people find you online while you look for that?
You can find me at Creepy Comedy.
At creepycomedy.
.com. Very easy. Creepy... comedy
on Twitter and Instagram
.com creepy comedy on Twitter, Instagram at creepy john. Yeah, creepy
is
john.
It's J-O-N. Yeah,
you can find me at Zorba's on Thursday nights at Scottsdale Road in Thomas
every Thursday night.
That is a sex shop.
Ooh.
I will be there at 1 a.m.
now because it's Thursday.
I will be crouching.
I'll be like in your butt and front.
Why don't you organize it? How about you check me out at the Comedy Spot on July 10th?
Woo-hoo.
I will be there. It's a Friday. It's in Scottsdale. That's all I got for you.
Cool. Well, thank you, Jonathan. And Genevieve, where are you going to be at after July 1st? And where can people find you on the internet?
All right. Well, you can find me at Genevieve Rice, basically anywhere on the internet. I mean, basically the only other Genevieve Rice is Ethel Genevieve Rice, who died at 100 2 years ago. So I'm the only one left.
Oh, maybe you'll be the second Genevieve Rice to live to 100.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And that will do a community theater place. Okay, cool. And your did you say your Twitters and stuff? Or
yeah,
okay.
I did.
All right, and okay, sorry, I was looking at my calendar. Okay, so I'm at Anthony Desamito, Desamito. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And the next show after July that's worth crap is I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory hosting for Eric Schwartz July 9th through the 12th. And that's going to be super fun. That's the Laugh Factory in Arizona. And along with our own individual Twitters and stuff, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at TIFBAP. It's Thank You for Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, TYFBAP. You can also find us at Instagram at TIFBAP as well. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Thank You for Being a Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, and any other platform you use to listen to us today. And so thank you everyone for listening. And the next episode, I think, is called it's season 2, episode 15. I think it's called back and forth or something, which is really creepy. I'm sure that's not
it's back and forth.
Back and forth. It's the sequel it's to in this episode.
It's in and out, winky face.
It's episode 15. Okay, thank you for listening. Have a good day or night.
Bye. Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Take the chicken down to Mississippi.